Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Losses Above Replacement, the greatest baseball podcast to grace your ears. I'm today's host, Matthias Altman-Kurosaki, and with me, as always, we have my amazing co-hosts, Ryan Splash Potts and Alex Clark. Gentlemen, we're back after a brief hiatus. How are we all doing on this fine Monday evening?
Right now, doing pretty good, I would say, at this point. Right now, I'm just wanting to see Seattle pick up their play again after having an amazing month of August. September, not look too good for my boys.
We're not going to talk about the Ravens game out of fear of me getting injured while talking. So I'll say that.
Yeah,
worry,
we're
I've
not good.
I got enough knee injuries for you. It's fine.
We're not going to get into the other NFL action either, because frankly, I'd like to forget about everything that happened in week one across the board. I'm not just referring to the Steelers. I'm referring to the Giants and now the Jets at this point. The other New York team, I'm not necessarily a Jets fan, but I was supposed to go to I was expecting at least to go see Aaron Rodgers play against the Patriots in a couple weeks. And well, looks like that's not going to happen anymore. I'll be there. I will not be watching Aaron Rodgers, unfortunately. But anyways, enough of the football talk. We are still in baseball season, if you wouldn't believe it. I know to some, once the football season begins, they don't pay attention to baseball anymore. But trust me, we have some exciting races going on. We have the AL wildcard race. It's basically down to, I'd say, two or three teams between the AL West and the Blue Jays. And then we have the National League, where it's a complete clutter. So let's start out in the American League, because right now it's pretty set in stone. The Orioles and the Rays are definitely going to be there. The O's are in prime position to win the AL East. The Rays have been fantastic for most of the year. Got that hot start, 8.5 games clear of everyone else. Then you have the Astros, who are currently in first in the West. The Twins look like they're going to run away with the AL Central. Let's use runaway in air quotes, because that division has been abysmal this season, to say the least. So you have the Rays, and then you have the Blue Jays, who are currently in the second wild card spot. And then after their win tonight, the Rangers and the Mariners are even for that last wild card spot. Gentlemen, let's start here in the AL. What do you guys see happening, playing out over these last 3 weeks of the season in the American League?
One of the things I do want to bring up is what you just brought up with the Central Division with the Twins. To give an idea, like, yes, the Twins are going to make the playoffs. That is going to happen, not just because, again, they're the leader of the division, but it's only because they are the leader of the division. You take a look at the next team below the Twins in the AL Central, and it's the Cleveland Guardians, who have a record of under 500 even. Now you go take a look at the wild card listings. Everyone, and I mean every one of the main wild card contenders that we're still calling the contenders, have a better record than the Twins do even. So at this point right now, maybe this is a little bit more, maybe some motivation for maybe changing up how the system works, just a little bit, maybe some minor tweaks. But anyway, from that at this point, I'm really interested to see what the races are, especially in the West and in the East right now. On the West side, you have the Astros, who have gotten up to a bit of a lead here in the division after the Mariners went on a bit of a low turn, and the Rangers definitely going on a bit of a low turn, but are starting to pick it up again. And then on the East side, it's very close between the Rays and the Orioles. It's, like you said, it's guaranteed that both those teams are going to make it. Whichever team does not win the division is going to win the first wild card. Like, that's basically a guarantee at this point. But I think what's going to be the most interesting race at this point is who's going to win the AL West, because I think what's going to happen there is whoever wins is going to have a huge advantage going into the playoffs because of how the Twins are playing. No matter what, who wins the West We'll take that second wild card spot. We'll take that second seed in the American League side of the bracket, which means that you get a free bye through the divisional round. Where right now, that basically means on the American League side, you either, if you're the Astros or the Mariners or even the Rangers, you either want to win the division or have the sixth wild card spot. Because then that means that you either have the rest week through going up into the divisional round, going to the divisional round, or you get to play against the Twins, who you already have a better record than. Yes, it's going to be in Minnesota, so the advantage does go to them, but you still get probably the easiest opponent of any team that's going to be in the playoffs. So right now, if we have to make any predictions on this right now, the Twins are set in stone, winning the Central. That's happening. If you go then to the East side of things, I think the Orioles are going to hold out. I think they've played exceptional baseball. And even though they've had a few injuries that have definitely, you know, kept them a little bit lower than where they, a lot of people think they should have been at, I think something they're going to win the division, which means that the Rays will take the first wild card spot. And then the wild card, though, there's two wild cards to me when it comes to the wild card division and the wild card race. And that is the Toronto Blue Jays and the Texas Rangers. Those two are teams that I think could really play spoiler for the other teams going forward, including, you know, the Mariners as well. Where right now, like, that's why I'm putting such an emphasis here on who's going to win the division. Because if you win the division, you don't have to worry about what the other teams are doing, especially the Blue Jays, who have done pretty well as of late. So do we want to make predictions fully right now, or do we want to wait until a little bit later, or just talk about our thoughts right now?
I mean, if you want to throw some predictions in right now, you can. So,
all right. I mean, all right, fair enough. So here's where it gets tricky, is that I really don't want to say the phrase that I know Mac will say at some point, and more than likely this match will say too, of Astros will win the American League West. It's looking very likely, though. The Astros have a very easy schedule going through the rest of the month, compared especially to the Mariners that have actually a pretty darn tough division, but rest of the schedule, excuse me. But I think, call it the homer in me here, I guess, but I think Seattle's going to pull it off. I don't know. Something about this team, especially in the last couple of years, has done exceptionally well in playing in the last month of the season, about finishing strong. And I think Seattle could do that right here, right now. Right now, they're currently tied against the Angels at the time of recording this, and the Astros just lost 4-0 to the Oakland Athletics. So I'm not going to say that's a precursor to anything, but I'm going to say Seattle takes the division. That is something where, like, again, I know I'm probably gets a backlash on that one, but I think there's a very realistic chance of it happening, which that in turn basically means that the Astros will, I think, then win the second wild card. And then the final wildcard spot is going to be a battle between the Blue Jays and the Rangers. And because I have Seattle winning the division, 7 of their last 10 games are against the Rangers. And if Seattle's going to win the division, they have to win those games. So that means the Rangers are going to fall down. And in what would be a very ironic story at this point, the Mariners are going to help the Blue Jays get into the playoffs. So that's my overall seedings right now. First seed, of course, will be the Baltimore Orioles. Second seed, Seattle Mariners. Third seed will be the Minnesota Twins. Fourth seed will be the Tampa Bay Rays. Fifth seed, Houston Astros. Sixth seed will be the Toronto Blue Jays.
Here we go. Boys and girls, can you believe it? The Baltimore Orioles are going to be the number one seed in the American League playoffs. Like, they,
insane to me. That is insane.
I know. Remember how this team lost, 110 games 2 years ago? Remember when they lost 115 games in 2018?
Jeez. Remember how last year, at the beginning of the season, we were predicting them to finish very last, not just in the American League East, but competing to be the worst team in all of baseball.
Yeah, it's just a crazy turnaround, and I do think they'll hold out the Rays. It remains to be seen if they can win in October, but we'll see. I would go Baltimore 1, and in the 2 seed, I'm going to stick with Houston. This is a team that, despite being swept by the Yankees a couple weeks ago, despite some of these weird losses, losing to Oakland, you have the gang back together, right? You have Altuve back, you have Yordan back, you have Verlander back. Everyone's back, and I think these are the kind of games the Astros will play up to their pedigree, play up to their World Series winning pedigree. Who cares about May? Who cares about middle of June? Who cares about July? You know, who cares about playing the A's, right? But when it gets down to crunch time, the Astros know how to win. Ask the Mariners last year. Ask the Yankees last year. Ask the Yankees the last few years in the playoffs. Ask the Rays in the playoffs. The Astros win these kind of games. They make the playoffs. They don't go into these wild card rounds because they don't want the flukiness involved with those. They just progress. So Baltimore 1, Houston 2, Minnesota 3. That's at this point a mortal lock. 4, Tampa. 5, Seattle. 6, I have Texas grabbing the last spot. Toronto is an inverted Houston. They always come up short. They always leave something to be desired. And I think this is another year that we're waiting on the movie, Vladdy. We're waiting on these guys to play up to their potential for a full season. And they've had some good seasons. Bichette's had a nice season. Gausman's in our Cy Young contention, right? But it doesn't come together for the Blue Jays. And I think this is another year they're going to fall short. Texas, they are missing some pieces, but you do get Eovaldi back. He's had 2 starts. He's, you know, a big playoff pitcher, Red Sox postseason hero, of course. But to run through that again, Baltimore, Houston, Minnesota, then the wild cards, Tampa, Seattle, Texas.
Now, I'll say this, which, you know, I just want to throw this out there, which is that, you know, it's hard to believe that the Twins actually have the largest division lead in the American League, considering they are barely above 500. It's just that the second place team in their division is 8 games below 500. So they have a 7.5 game lead. So the Twins are the surest thing here to win their division. It's pretty clear. They've handled the Guardians very well this year. The AL East, I think it's the Orioles division to lose. You know, they're healthier right now. I think really their pitching staff has rounded into form. I know Kyle Gibson's kind of been up and down, but he's an innings eater. Kyle Bradish has been fantastic. Grayson Rodriguez has been really good ever since coming back from the minors. And then their offense, you know, with Adley Rutschman, Ryan Mountcastle, and, you know, Anthony Santander, Cedric Mullins, Gunnar Henderson. They have so many hitters. Jordan Westberg has been nice lately. I think the Orioles are a very strong team. They're going to win 100 games. They're going to win the division. I think it's safe to say the Rays are going to be that top wild card team. You know, I think the Astros have what it takes to win the AL West. I'll say this about all these AL West teams, is that none of these guys are completely infallible. You know, you look at the Astros, you know, because that one weekend, you know, you had the Mariners losing a series to the Mets, but then the Astros get swept by the Yankees at home. So it's not like the Astros capitalize on the Mariners' shortcomings there. And then you see the Astros just stick it to the Rangers. Like, those games weren't even close. It was like, are you sure this is, like, a division race? Because the Rangers looked like they had no business being in first place all this time. So I think the Astros take the West. Honestly, I see that gap just increasing this month. They have a much, much easier schedule. Granted, they just got shut out by the Oakland A's. So I think they come away with the division. I think the Mariners, I know they have a tough schedule from here on out. You have these 3 games with the Angels, but then you finish up with 3 against the Dodgers, 7 against the Rangers, and 3 against the Astros. That being said, I think the Mariners do get enough wins against Texas to get into that what is it, the second wild card spot. So they'd be the 5 seed in my picture. So I see them being the 5 seed. And then I'm going with Toronto, actually, with the last spot, because I think, as Alex said, because the Mariners have so many games against the Rangers down the stretch, then I can't see the Rangers getting into the playoffs. And frankly, you know, Max Scherzer, unfortunately, it's a second year in a row he's folded against, you know, his team's biggest rival when the team needs him the most. And really, he has either his chance to redeem himself against the Mariners, or he's going to fold again. Which version are they going to get? Who knows? But really, I think the Mariners come out on top there. I feel like the Blue Jays, people kind of just forgot about them while the AL West teams were duking it out. So I think the Blue Jays get that 6th spot, and they get to face the Twins, which who knows what that series is going to do. I will say, though, Twins do have some nice pieces with guys like Royce Lewis, Matt Wallner. They're a better team than we've given them credit for, I think, but I still don't really see them stacking up well against any of the other playoff teams. So any other thoughts on the American League?
I mean, I don't know how anyone can say that the Mariners are getting help or the Mariners are going to do well when they just added back Jerry Kelnick today, meaning that now we get the return of Country Roads, Take Me Home, is going through the stadiums on full blast. So I am fully ready for that. I would say,
you know, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure about dropping Cade Marlowe for him.
I mean, here's the problem is that Cade Marlowe has not been playing well as of his last while. He's been good at defense. Fair. I'll give him that. But at the same time right now, I think you need to have that big bat. I would say that the only two people you probably could have dropped at that moment were either Cade Marlowe or Sam Haggerty. And Haggerty has been playing
Haggerty's hitting well.
He's been hitting really well, and he is a much better pinch runner as well. So situationally, I think Haggerty just edges him out right now, but Cade, I think, is still going to be a stud on this team in the near future.
I will say the Twins are counting their blessings that the Yankees are below 500 right now, because we all know that if the Yankees somehow made the playoffs and faced the Twins, it's over.
You see, here's the issue, is that it's not just the Yankees that have swept them. I know in the few other playoff series they've had in recent memory where they have not faced the Yankees, they got swept by the A's in 06. And in the 2020 quote-unquote playoffs, because, you know, 16 teams in those playoffs, they got swept by the Astros, who were sub-500 that year. So the Twins have not won a playoff game since I was in preschool. Is this the year it changes? Who knows? I still don't know if they can win a series.
Will they finally be able to put the word? Will they finally go away from being just the tease by getting that win back in their name? That's the question.
Yeah. So
what? Spies just gave me the dirtiest look right there.
Okay. Listen. Your franchise did not lose a World Series to the Twins. Those bozos underlined the S in Twins in their logo heading into the 91 season to emphasize we want to be winners, not just one win. We want all the wins. And they go win the World Series to go worst to first. Do not remind me from a game that happened negative 10 years ago. When I was negative 10 years old. Yes, exactly.
I mean, to be fair, I was mostly at that point just making a comment on the U-tree video, just because that I purposely love going back to that one. It's a good time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's crazy because the last time the Twins won a playoff series was in 2002, where they upset the Moneyball Oakland A's, which I feel like almost everyone forgets that season. I forgot about that. That's the thing, is that the Twins, they snapped the 20-game winning streak. Then they defeated the A's on their home turf to send them home in the ALDS. So
led by the legendary reliever, easygoing Eddie Gordon.
Oh, yeah. Easy Eddie got the final out of that series. So, amazing. Yeah, that's yeah, so that is worth noting. But like I said, I was 2 years old when that happened. So it's like, I do feel bad for Twins fans because they've had plenty of good teams and a lot of great players. Some of my favorite players, like Joe Mauer and Johan Santana and Joe Nathan. It's just they're going to get over that hump eventually. That being said, unfortunately, I feel like they're the easiest opponent for any American League team. So I feel like you almost – I don't necessarily encourage losing so you get the sixth seed, but I feel like this might be a situation where you do want to get that lower seed. Anyways, let's move along to the National League, where it's – let's just say it's a clutter in a few different spots. So it's pretty clear who's winning the NL East and who's winning the NL West. The Braves have a 15-game lead in the East. The Dodgers have a 13-game lead in the West. Then you go over to Central. The Brewers only have a 3.5-game lead over the Cubs. That lead has fluctuated over the last week, 2 weeks. Cubs took 2 of 3 from the Brewers, swept the Giants, then lost 3 of 4 to the D-backs. Speaking of the D-backs, they currently hold that last wild card spot, but they're only a game up on the Marlins, a game and a half up on the Giants and Reds. So you basically have four teams fighting for two spots. The Phillies look pretty secure. So in the National League, let's go to Splash here on first, since you're our NL guy. What do you see playing? How do you see this playing out?
First off, everyone can bow down. The Braves are the first team to clinch a playoff spot. They have that little X next to their name on Baseball Reference. So bow down and respect your elder, even though Bryce Elder stinks. Anyways, Braves won. I think that goes without saying. Dodgers 2, again, goes without saying. Give me the Chicago Cubs at 3. I know Milwaukee has the season lead here. I get that. But the Cubs can pitch. They're getting Stroman back. They have the Brewers, they have a great bullpen. The Cubs also have a great bullpen. This is like popped up in front of our eyes. And the Cubs know how to hit situationally. They don't need the home run ball like Atlanta does, like Philly does, to power their offense. They get timely hitting from everyone in that lineup. Horner, Swanson, Bellinger, Candelario, Morel off the bench. This is a great team that everyone knows their role, and I think they'll be a tough out in October, even if that's a, you know, heading to Philadelphia for the wild card series. That's a tough series. That could be an NLDS series, and I wouldn't bat an eye. But Chicago 3, I do still think Milwaukee makes the playoffs. Philly 4, they're pretty much locked in there. Milwaukee 5. And I think Arizona grabs the sixth seed. I believe Sandy's on the IL now for Miami or heading that way. The Giants are a game and a half back from Arizona as well. Cincinnati's a game and a half back. I'm going to trust Arizona's pitching. And if you're in that situation and you're looking at, oh, Arizona's coming to town, I don't want to face Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly game one, game two. If you're Milwaukee or Chicago, you might get whacked immediately. We just saw Arizona beat Chicago, what, 3 out of 4, 4 out of 4? So
3 out of 4, yeah.
Yeah, so you look at that, and Arizona's a tough out in their own right. But I'm going Atlanta 1, LA 2, Chicago 3, Philly 4, Milwaukee 5, Arizona 6.
And by the way, I will add in that, yes, Sandy Alcantara has a forearm injury, so we don't know if he's going to pitch again this year.
So one thing I do want to bring up here when it comes to the Cubs, one thing I will highly respect them on, in my opinion, just because I love seeing teams take big risks, is that they also just called up Pete Crow Armstrong to go and play one of their big, big rookies for part of this playoff push. And you know what? That is a risky, risky move. But you know what? It's one of those moves that can also pay off huge dividends too. And when you are in a playoff push like this, when you are competing not just for a wild card spot, but you're also competing for the division, those are the kind of moves that will get you that. They could also be the move that, you know, completely tanks you too. But you know what? I think you're in a driver's seat position right now where you have to go for it, especially considering one other major thing here. Looking at the standings for the wild cards right now in the National League here, one thing jumps out to me, and it's a word that you've already said. It's cluttered. There are 6 teams right now that viably could win a wild card spot, because within those 6 teams, all of them are either holding a wild card spot or within a game and a half of holding a wild card spot. Those teams are the Phillies, Cubs, Arizona, Miami, San Francisco, and Cincinnati. The next team, funny enough, is San Diego Padres. Huh, baseball's weird, isn't it? But I think right now, as I'm looking at this, the only true locks, like you said earlier, are Atlanta at number 1 and the Dodgers at number 2. Like, I don't think there's not going to be any throwback on that one. Although I will say the Dodgers will have a few losses when they come over to Seattle. I'm going to that series. That's going to be fun. But regardless, the Central is one that is, funny enough, where, you know, the Central had no contention in the AL, and the National League, that's where all the contention is at. Here's the thing, is that I want to reward the Cubs for what they're doing. I don't know if they're going to be able to fully pull it off, being down 3 games to what Milwaukee is right now. So I think Milwaukee's going to hold on. It's going to be close, but I think they are going to hold on. And the Cubs, though, are going to do enough, though, to still be at least a wild card team. I think that the way that the standings are right now for the division leaders, those are going to stay. I think you have Atlanta winning the East, the Dodgers winning the West, and Milwaukee holding on the center spot. Milwaukee just does a lot of things really, really well. But I'm also going to echo a sentiment that you guys said earlier about Arizona. And that's that Arizona has a very interesting pitching staff that is really well suited for the playoffs. Like you said, Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen, having those guys go 1-2. There are very few duos that are better in baseball going 1-2 in a playoff game than those two. I think that right now, Arizona, if they get into the playoffs, they're going to be a dangerous, dangerous force. But it's a question of, are they going to make it? And right now, they hold that third wild card. The teams that they're mainly competing against are Miami, where, again, Sandy Alcantara is out with an arm injury. San Francisco Giants, who have been a bit inconsistent this year, to say. Although I will say they did just re-add my boy Mitch Haniger back, so you know what, that already accounts for another 300 wins. And then you have Cincinnati, who has been... can we say that they've been streaky? I mean, can we say that now? Considering the fact that they had that huge streak and everyone was saying this team is for real, and then they just kind of fell off again. Like, not a huge drop-off, but definitely not where they need to be. So I think right now where you're going to have it be at right now is basically where you already have things. I think that right now the Phillies are going to be the first wild card spot, followed by Chicago having the second, and then Arizona will sneak in with the third, but it's going to be by only a game. I think, though, on top of that, San Francisco does overhop Miami, though, but it's going to basically come down to those final days. So with that being said, yeah, that means number one seed, Atlanta, number two seed, Dodgers, number three seed, Milwaukee, four seed, Philly, five seed, Cubs, six seed, Arizona.
So what I see, because the NL Central race really fascinates me, because I think the Cubs have an underrated offense, I would say, in a way. You know, Dansby Swanson has really come on as of late. You know, he got off to a slow start. But he's been pretty solid overall this year. Yes, he's only a 101 OPS plus on the year, but he's a strong defender. He has 20 home runs. You know, Cody Bellinger, I mean, I can't say enough good things about Cody Bellinger this year. Dude's completely remade himself. Seiya Suzuki's been fantastic as of late. Christopher Morel's got great power. But, you know, then you look at their pitching staff. Justin Steele's great. Kyle Hendricks is pretty good. It's like a solid pitching staff, but it doesn't quite stack up with the Brewers, in my opinion. The Brewers led by Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff, and then that amazing bullpen with, you know, Joel Piamps and Abner Uribe and Devin Williams. It's really interesting because I don't think the Brewers' offense sniffs what the Cubs have. Really. The Brewers' offense, other than, you know, Christian Yelich probably, it's largely an average to below average offense. I'll say it. It's tough because also the Cubs need to take advantage of those weak opponents. You know, right now they're losing to the Rockies last I had checked. It was 4-3 in the ninth inning. Granted, they had a man on second base and none out. But you have six games with the Rockies. Oh, actually, they have two men on now with none out. They have six games with the Rockies. They also have three more with Arizona. They've already lost three or four to Arizona. They have three with the Pirates, three more with the Rockies. And then those last six games are interesting because it's three in Atlanta, but by then Atlanta will have clinched the division and probably clinched home field advantage. So are they going to actually trot out their, you know, their lineup on full strength? I honestly don't think so. So Atlanta, you could say that's a tough opponent, but if they're not playing at full strength, is it really that tough of an opponent? And then the last three games of the year are at American Family Field against the Brewers. And really, I think the division is going to come down to those three games. And I said this about the AL West previously. I think it's going to be like the Mets and Braves last year, where it comes down to that one weekend. And, you know, after thinking this through, I'm going to go with the Cubs winning the NL Central. I think they're going to pull off a stunner, and they're going to get past the Brewers just narrowly. That being said, the Brewers, I think, grab the second wild card spot. The Phillies in that top wild card spot, I'm telling you, this is not a team you want to face in the playoffs. The Phillies look very dangerous right now, especially with Trey Turner having caught fire and Bryce Harper looking like Bryce Harper again and Kyle Schwarber hitting all those home runs. plus that pitching staff. It looks like Wheeler, you know, I know that Nola's kind of had a down year, but Wheeler's still really strong. You know, you have Ranger Suarez, Taiwan Walker is solid. You know, I think, you know, with that bullpen, Craig Kimbrell's been much better ever since becoming the closer this year. So you do not want to face the Phillies. I'm just going to say that right now. And then that last wild card spot, the Arizona Diamondbacks. I think, you know, the Giants have been way too inconsistent this year. You know, they had that long winning streak, 11 games in a row. Then they really fell off. Then they'll rattle off a few more wins, then go on another long losing streak. It's just so much inconsistency there, and they don't really excel at anything is what is my issue with them. So, and then there's the Reds, who I think are just a year ahead of schedule, and the Marlins, I think the Marlins are a year ahead of schedule too. So I think the D-backs really, yes, they are a year ahead of schedule, but, you know, Corbin Carroll has been consistent throughout the year. Christian Walker has also been pretty consistent. So give me the D-backs as that last seed. And yes, I think in a three-game series, they're pretty tough. In a five-game series, not so much. So any other final thoughts on the National League?
Yeah, I got a question actually for the both of you here. We've been talking a lot about how dangerous a lot of these teams are. Of the wildcard teams, who is more dangerous for going over the division leaders between, I'm going to say here, the Phillies and the Diamondbacks? Because we both have them as wildcard peoples. But who's the more dangerous team?
The Phillies, not even a question.
Yeah, I'm going to second that. Like I said, I mean, that's the thing is, the Mets have won four of the six games against the Phillies this year, but that was early in the season before they started clicking. I mean, this is a – yeah, you got to remember, the Phillies, they made the World Series last year, and this year they are a much better team, in my opinion, even with losing Rhys Hoskins. Like, this is – especially, like, you look at the progression from Bryson Stott this year and Brandon Marsh and guys like that, and their bullpen, I think, is on par, if not better, than what they had last year. I would not be surprised if the Phillies make it to the World Series again, if I'm being completely honest.
I would agree to that, yeah. I'm also just wanting to bring it up because I also don't think that people should be sleeping on the Diamondbacks right now because at this point, like I said, we talked about how good their pitching staff is and the fact they do have some really good playmakers on offense. But at the same time, I do think, though, that the Phillies are just the better team overall. And like we said earlier, like we saw what happened, you know, last year, even that this is a team that when they get hot in a bunch. Everyone gets hot at once. And if they get hot, there's very few teams that can stop them.
Yeah. So it's really because Splash, do you have something?
Yeah. We're not going to talk about what happened the last time the Phillies made the playoffs.
That you know, I really don't know. That's the thing is that they're a very hot and cold team, but they've been hot for like the last 3 months. Really, I haven't really seen them go into any real cold stretches. I remember when the Mets swept them at the end of May, beginning of June. I was like, yeah, how did this team? You know, like this. Yeah, they got Trey Turner, but they looked overmatched. Really. But now they look like the team I thought they were going to be heading into the season. So, should we call it rapid fire? Let's go over our playoff bracket to that point. So we all have our six teams. Let's just go real quick round by round and say who skip the round by round. Let's just do the World Series. All right. So if we're doing it now, you know, we're 3 weeks away from the end of the season. Give me your guys' World Series matchups and give me your winners.
We're going to go with the Houston Astros representing the American League. And in the National League, I think I'm going to rule the Dodgers out. We're not going to talk about what happened off the field with them, but that is a major blow to the Dodgers as a baseball team, both clubhouse-wise, organization-wise, baseball product, whatever you want to talk about. We're not going to talk about it. But I think your de facto NLCS is Atlanta and Philly, and it really depends on who decides to show up. Is Spencer Strider a potato in the playoffs? Kyle Wright today was horrible. Probably a bullpen arm in the playoffs, though. What are you going to get out of the third arm for Philly behind Nola and Wheeler? What are you going to get out of Charlie Morton? He's been historically pretty good in the playoffs, but he's also like 40 now. Max Fried missed a chunk of the season. That's a toss-up for me. Probably lean Atlanta because they'd have a home game 7 in theory, or a home game 5 if that comes in the NLDS. But I think the Astros right now would be my pick to win the World Series over another NL East team.
I want to do my homer pick, and I have reasoning for it. So my pick for the World Series is going to be my Seattle Mariners taking on the Atlanta Braves. I think the Braves are just such a strong team overall that really it is. I think it's going to come down to Braves versus either Phillies or Dodgers. And I just think the Braves outlast at that point. On the American League side of things, I know I sound like the homer for picking my Mariners. I know. But hear me out here for just a second. I love what their rotation is right now going into the playoffs. They have so strong, such amazingly strong starting pitching, which is something that will help you immensely in the playoffs, especially with where the off days are at. That means you don't need to run with a full 5-man rotation. You very rarely would you at that point. So right now, when you have a starting rotation that involves Luis Castillo, George Kirby, Logan Gilbert, and then any glut of the other ones from Bryce Miller, Brian Wu, to any of these other guys that are putting together good work as well as either the fourth and then just kind of work through them, you can even erase a little bit of some bad bullpen harms, even though you've had some guys that have been putting in some amazing work. Matt Brash has looked like a legend as of late. Munoz is struggling, but he also just won AL Reliever of the Month somehow. You know what? Good on him. But pitching is what's going to win a lot of times in the postseason. Having a good, strong pitching depth that can work through. Like, there's a reason why Seattle and the Astros went to 18 innings in one of those games. It was not from a lack of offense, I'll tell you that much. Is that the pitching staff for both teams were really good. I would love to see in the ALCS, Seattle versus Houston. Do I think that's going to happen with how the brackets are set up? No. But at the same time, it would just make me the happiest lad and then see Seattle beat the Houston Astros to go to the World Series for the first time ever, making it so then now no team has ever not been to a World Series. But at the same time, like, the starting pitching staff is something that's going to really carry this team. And on top of it, the offense has been really strong as of late, especially over the last couple of months. Their offensive numbers have been fantastic. And today you just added back Jared Kelnick, who, mind you, was one of the biggest offensive producers of the team for the first few months before he broke his foot, and then was doing absolutely amazing work over in AAA, showing that, okay, you know what, foot's fine. Let's go, let's do some work now. So if I had to pick between, as I'm picking between the two, I'm going to take my Mariners because that is my brand at this point, but it's going to be an amazing series, and I think it goes to 6 games.
So I'm actually going to go in a different route than you guys. And in the National League, just narrowly making it out, in my opinion, I'm going with the Dodgers. I feel like, you know, the Braves obviously are a fantastic ball club. I feel like the Dodgers are almost being slept on. You know, I understand the Braves just took 3 or 4 from them, but like the Dodgers, their offense, especially now that they're going to get JD Martinez back, they have him. You know, they have Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts at the top of your lineup. It's a very tough duo. Will Smith. They just have a great lineup, 1-9, really. And then it's going to come down to the health of their pitching staff. Clayton Kershaw has been battling an injury for a while now. You know, Tony Gonsolin is out for the year. They're not going to have Dustin May. But I think that the Dodgers, you know, with Bobby Miller, guys like Ryan Pepio, you know, Gavin Stone, I think they have a team that can make it back to the World Series. You know, this is, I think, going to be their redemption year, at least on the National League side of things. So I have them making it out of the National League. Then going over in the American League, once again, for the third year in a row, I have the Houston Astros. And, you know, the reason I'm going at the Astros, it's not a slight at the Mariners or the Orioles. It's really that the Astros have the experience. They've been there so many times. I think that they are the most prepared of the teams in the American League, especially getting Justin Verlander back shores up that rotation. You know, Christian Javier has struggled lately. Framber Valdez has been better, you know, the last few times out, but he has had his rough patches. Their bullpen is still really good with Ryan Presley and Brian Abreu. I give me the Astros coming out of the AL. And in the World Series, I am, to Alex's chagrin, also going with the Astros. Like I said, I think the Astros are the most complete team here. In my opinion, the best lineup in the American League. And I think they have enough depth to take down the Dodgers. So I have the Astros beating the Dodgers once again in 7 games. So that is our postseason predictions with 1 month out. So let us know what you guys think. Tell us at LAR_baseball. Do you think our predictions are great? Do you think they're terrible? Let us know. You probably will disagree with at least one of us. And you might disagree with all three of us for all I know. So anyways, let's move on to everyone's favorite segment every week, which is trivia. And this week we have Mr. Splash Man leading us on that. So Splash, take it away.
Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, how's it going?
Good.
We're doing it.
Great. Love to hear that. So we talked about...
Sorry, that was just so awkward.
We talked about the playoffs. So I have a playoff-themed trivia question for you guys today. And this is one of the three strikes version. There's over 100 applicable answers here, but the first one to get to three strikes takes the L here. So your category for the day, your guessing game, if you will, is you have to give me a player who has hit a home run in the playoffs in the last 3 seasons.
Okay. All right, who's going first then?
So wait, like 20, so 2020, 2021, 2022.
That is correct.
All right, sounds good.
That just hit a homer in the playoffs.
Yes, hit at least okay. One home run in the playoffs.
Okay, all righty.
All right, sounds good.
All right, how we decide who goes first?
I was going to say, well, Alex, since your football team can score more than a touchdown, we're going to go with you with the first pick. Yeah, Matt Canada can take the blame on that one there, Matt.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm just going to go straight for Kyle Schwarber.
Kyle Schwarber is correct with 9. Also, screw you, Mac. Don't you dare.
Oh, do it.
You gave
it,
me such a great opportunity. I'm supposed to give you an answer.
Yes.
Will Smith.
Okay. Alex wins trivia.
Yeah, let's go.
You're lucky it would take me 10 minutes to log back into the Zoom. Otherwise, I'd be leaving the call. Will Smith has 5 of them. Alex.
I'll give you a break. Yeah, I'll give you a break. Teoscar Hernandez.
Teo has 2 home runs in the playoffs. Mac.
All right, I'm shocked Alex hasn't said this guy's name yet. Cal Raleigh.
I was saving Cal Raleigh.
Mr. Ding Dong has 1 playoff home run.
Yes, he does.
Alex.
Yeah, I'm going to say a name that makes me sad. That's Yordan Alvarez.
Your Ding Dong has 5. Mac.
All righty. I'm going to go with Adam Duvall.
Mr. Duvall, Grand Slam in the World Series. Duvall has 4.
Oscar Gonzalez.
Mr. SpongeBob himself has 1. Mac.
That's all I remember. It's just that one. That's all I need to know.
Yes.
I'm gonna go with Eduardo Escobar.
The only reason why the Mets won 100 games last year, Eduardo Escobar has won.
Bryce Harper.
Mac, congratulations on your victory. Harper has 6 home runs.
Were those were all last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. I lost my train of thought for a second. I'm gonna
746.
Jesus. I'm gonna go with the one that brings me some pain, Jerks and Profar.
Mr. Profar, former top prospect, has won. Alex.
All right, I'm gonna go with one of my homeboys, Carlos Santana.
Mr. Guardian. I guess he never played with the Guardians. Cleveland legend Carlos Santana has won. Mac.
Okay. I think I'm pretty sure he hit one in 2020, but I could be wrong. Nelson Cruz.
Nelly Cruz is correct with one.
Okay. Alex. Yeah, maybe in 2021 for all I know.
Now, like, I'm just struggling on who plays baseball anymore.
And you can't go back to your default pick Seattle Mariners.
Damn, I can't anymore. Oh, no.
Or pick Mets.
No, I mean, it's in the last 3 years, you said?
Yes. You can Mookie. Pick players who did it against the Braves, and I'll kick you, but...
I mean, too late, but I'm going to go Mookie. Pretty sure he had some in 2020.
Shush. He has three, Mac.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
All right. Christian Vasquez for the Red Sox. I know he had a walk-off.
Vasquez. Oh, if I can spell Vasquez correctly, has one. Alex.
Let me see. I'm just trying to remember other players. I remember. Oh. Players that hit home runs. CT3, Chris Taylor.
Chris Taylor had a pretty big one against the Cardinals that I can approve of. He has five. Mac.
Okay. I'm going to go with AJ Pollock.
Call me Jackson Pollock because he splatters home runs. That's two. Alex.
I hate that you said that. That is just the worst possible.
Epic rap battles of history, baby. All right.
Okay. Alex. So... I want to Enrique Hernandez.
The GOAT. I wish his name was Kike on this, but oh, it is. He has seven. He also has an OPS above 1,000 in the playoffs, by the way. Ooh. Matt.
That is impressive.
Okay. I'm trying to remember who actually hit home runs. Corey Seager. Give me that guy.
Corey Seager has 10. Alex.
I'm going to go with a player that has been doing a lot of work as of late, Jose Siri.
Jose, don't call me Siri, has one. Mac.
Okay.
Okay. Jose Ramirez.
J-Ram has one. Alex.
Nolan Arenado. I know that he did some stuff with the Cardinals.
Nolan Arenado is an incorrect answer.
Oh.
Mac.
Ooh, wait.
Strike.
What? Yeah, one oh, strike dang. For Alex.
Oof. I am going to go with Francisco Lindor. You get one off Blake Snell, I know.
Mr. Smile has one. Alex.
Josh Bell.
Josh Bell, one time I said he was better than Pete Alonso.
has two. That's a good one.
He had a good stretch and then he fell off a Comedian. Cliff. He was a silver slugger last year. Alonso wasn't. Josh Bell has two. Mac, your turn.
I lost my train of thought, I'm not gonna lie. Wow. Okay. I am going to go. Man, who in the world? All of a sudden now I'm struggling for names. Give me a second. I believe this guy hit one for the Rays, Jordan Luplo.
Jordan Luplo is correct. He has one. Alex. Braves legend.
That was Darnell.
Travis Darno has 6 of them. Yes. Mac.
Okay. Jorge Soler.
He has a couple big ones, 3 score reversing, 3 go ahead home runs. I apologize. All in the playoffs. Alex.
Oh, why am I blanking on this guy's first name? I'm breaking. I know the last name. It's with the Padres, Graham. Graham or
what?
Grisham? Not Trent Grisham, is it?
No. You said Trent Grisham, and Trent Grisham has 3 of them.
Okay, I'll take Mac. That then. For some reason, I thought it was Graham. Why am I just completely downing?
Mac.
Graham.
That's a half strike.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I'm gonna call that a ball, so you have a chance to, or I'm gonna call that a strike, so you can hit a home run here.
Oh yeah, Christ.
Keep Ryan Hayes. Sadly, not an answer here.
Damn. That was one of the dumbest. As an umpire myself, that was one of the dumbest quotes.
Yeah, it's
gonna say.
It's the thing that made me the third most mad this weekend.
Give me JP Crawford.
JP Crawford has 1. Alex.
All right. Well, if we're gonna go with Mariners, then we're gonna go with one and only Eugenio Suarez.
Okay, Eugenio Suarez has 1. Mac.
Man.
So we're getting close to the end of time here. Should we maybe cut this short to just
maybe once? Be faster with your answers?
There's over 400 answers, my dude.
There's 128. Excuse me.
Give me Pete Alonso though.
Polar Bear Pete. He has 1 of them. Alex.
Just because I remember this homer made me sad. Bregman.
Mr. Crawford Box himself has 5. Mac.
All right, if we're going with the Astros, Jeremy Pena.
World Series MVP, Jeremy Pena has 4. Alex.
Anthony Rizzo.
The Riz God himself has 3. Mac.
Okay, I'm not sure if he actually hit, Aaron Judge, I think.
Aaron has 5. Alex.
A guy that's been seemingly hot as of late, Trey Turner.
Mr. 25 home runs now, Trey Turner.
25, yeah.
2. Mac.
Brandon Marsh.
Brandon Marsh has 1, or has 2, sorry, Alex.
I was going to say, yeah.
Do we already say Machado?
Machado has 6. Mac.
I'm not sure if we said him already. Cody Bellinger.
And he took Luke Jackson deep on a ball that was 10 feet above the strike zone. He has 5. Alex.
With the Dodgers, Freddie Freeman.
And Braves, he has 8. Mac.
Eddie Rosario.
NLCS hero and NL, the father of the NLS, Eddie Rosario has 3. Alex?
Yeah.
I think we're going to need to cut it here. I have one more name. I was going to say just from the Dodgers as well, Max Muncy.
Mr. Munch himself has 4. All right, Alex.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you one opportunity here. If you name the player who has the most playoff home runs in the last 3 seasons, we will go into a sudden death tiebreaker. Otherwise, you lose.
I have a name, but I don't want to say it because I hate the person.
If it's the other person, no.
If it's Altuve,
you have to say that name at some point.
Altuve.
That is incorrect. Although he was going to be the tiebreaker answer. Randy Arozarena.
I was
going
to say it's Arozarena. That is the most.
I'm going to really like Randy Arozarena, so I can't.
Okay, Mac, you are the champion. Alex, good job, buddy.
Yeah.
Some fun ones that I want to mention before we hop off: Juan Yepes, Colton Wong,
yes.
Luke Voigt,
Gio
Urshela.
Didn't Stephen Kwan hit one? Didn't Stephen Kwan hit one?
Probably. Yeah. Darren Ruff, Christian Pache. Miguel Rojas. Stephen Kwan has one. Eric Hosmer. Kyle Higashioka. Leury Garcia. Adam Engel. That was a name I hadn't seen in a long time.
Oh, my
Jason
God.
Castro.
Adam Engel.
Austin Barnes. And Ronald Acuna Jr. Thanks for playing. Congratulations, Mac. Alex,
thank you
better
for
luck
that
next
together.
Time. Yeah, of course. Alex,
I
at least
mean,
you
good,
root
good
for
effort.
A better football team.
Oh, whatever.
Damn. I mean, at least my team. At least my team doesn't have four UCL injuries.
Oh. Anyway.
Wait, what? No, oh.
That didn't make any sense. Honestly, that was my thing.
Why would football players have UCL injuries?
Well, oh, sorry, MCL. Sorry, MCL. MCL.
None of them tore
their
MCLs
either. None of them have MCLs either. Yeah.
What knee injury was it then? That was something ACL.
It was an Achilles ACL. For Dobbins.
What?
A shoulder injury for Marcus Williams, and
what was it? The Andrews?
That was a quad. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
All right,
you brought that one on yourself, there, bud.
let's move on to our final segment of the show, which we end every show with, which is the moment to ourselves, 60 seconds, give or take a few. To talk about whatever is on your mind, baseball, not baseball, sports, or not sports. So who here wants to go first? Splash, you can go first. Your 60 seconds starts now.
First of all, I'd like to apologize if this goes over time. There are some comments, or lack thereof, out of the Angels clubhouse that has me concerned. So on one hand, Anthony Rendon has been injured, and the press talks to him. They ask him questions about his injury. He's obviously frustrated. The last time he said, no habla inglés. I thought that was pretty funny. Obviously, the reporters didn't think that was very funny. Anyways, he is being prodded and poked at and whatever. Fine. He's paid like it. You know who else has paid a lot of money on the Angels and is hurt right now? Shohei Ohtani. You know who doesn't get asked any questions in the media? Shohei Ohtani. Why is he being coddled? Why is he treated like he's more than the team? That gets on my nerves. And he's about to be a free agent. And we're having a bunch of teams look at signing him. Mariners, Mets, Dodgers, Braves, Padres, Angels, whomever. If you are looking at the situation and you are talking about a great player, one of the greatest players to ever play the game in Shohei Ohtani, but he's going to be more than the team. He's going to be a guy that it's a team sport. It is a team sport. We've seen in other sports when Russell Wilson gets raised above the rest of the team and he's paid $200 million before he plays it down with Denver and he gets his own office, the whole team's out of whack. So if you're going to go sign Ohtani and say, well, he's a star player, but he doesn't have to adhere to any rules that other star players have to abide by. Anthony Rendon is a champion and a great player in his own right who's dealt with injuries as an Angel, and he's being, you know, degraded. I get he's not necessarily a great person off the field or he had the fan interactions, whatever. But why does Ohtani get a pass for not doing basic star player stuff? Imagine if Aaron Judge said no, withheld injury information from the Yankees. Imagine if Betts did that from the Dodgers, Acuna did that from the Braves. Why does Ohtani get a pass? Why? I get the superstar and I get the like generational international superstar, but it's a team sport. I don't want him on the Braves. I don't want him to be bigger than the team. And I think that's one thing that we don't talk about with the Angels, why they always underperform. They have these great players. They have Trout. They have Ohtani. They treat them as more than the team. It's a team sport. Don't give preferential treatment. I know he's your best player, but you have to hold players accountable. I'll use the Braves as an example. When Ronald Acuna doesn't run it out to first base or he lollygags in the outfield or whatever, you know who chews him out? The manager eventually will. The fans do. His own teammates chew him out. They are held to a standard. You have the Michael Harris play. He didn't run out of ground ball. Marcelo Zuna, who we can acknowledge not a great person off the field, darn good clubhouse guy. He pulls Harris aside, says, you can't do that. You have to be held accountable. And I don't think Ohtani is being held accountable for what is ridiculous in withholding injury information from his own team. You have this conversation behind closed doors, say, I have a torn UCL. I can't play anymore. I'm going to get surgery. I'm going to recover. Whatever. Say that. Tell the Angels that so the Angels can update people on his injury report. Holy Christmas.
I mean, like, right. I get it. I get it, though. So, All right.
I mean, yeah, I will say this, and because I'm like probably the biggest Ohtani fan on this show, which is that it is like, you get like a couple of updates here and there, like from like today he was a late scratch from today's lineup because of an oblique injury, and he's to Splash's point, you do not hear a ton from him himself. It's normally through his agent.
And
I
that, that's fine.
yeah.
That's fine. I know, not the same exact thing, but like translators, fine. Agents, fine. Your people, that's fine. Communication is important here. It's a team sport. They are
Yeah.
paying you $30 million this year to play for their team. And I totally understand you don't want to get injured. You're get more injured. You're about to go into free agency and make hundreds of millions of dollars. I understand that, but have a line of communication. Tell the Angels, hi, my UCL is injured. I'm going to rehab that. I'm going to get treatment for that, whatever. And fine, you're out for the season. Go on the IL. Open up a roster spot for one of their 42 young pitchers that can't play at double A and triple A because they have weird rules and weird altitudes. Or call up a guy from this draft because
Yeah.
apparently they're all gods.
Yeah. Anyways, Alex, do you want to go next?
Yeah, sure, I got this.
All right. Your time starts in 3, 2, 1.
So, as a Mariner fan, one of the things that I am so happy about is the fact that this is now the third year in a row that I have been able to purchase playoff tickets. Now, they've only made the playoffs the last 2 years. I understand that. But go back to 2021. They were in the race up until the final game of the season, and the fact that after 20 years of not seeing anything, not even sniffing the postseason, being able to go and actually pay for tickets, being able to say, you know what, I think that it's going to happen to where I'm going to put money down on it, and even if they don't make it, then I get it back, whatever. But just having that option feels so good. I have been missing out on playoff baseball for 20 plus years. Now, remind you again, the last time besides last year that the Mariners made the playoffs, Mac and Splash, both of you guys were in diapers still, or in very close to it. I was in grade school. I am now almost 30. And it's incredible for me and that guy, for someone who has been a fan of this team for as long as I have been, for being a fan and has sat through those mid 2000s to the 2010s era of just honestly bad baseball. Being able to see this right now, it is so uplifting. It feels so good. And I understand, like, people talk about being the winning culture and all that just making the playoffs isn't good enough. I agree, it isn't just good enough, but let me be happy that we at least have it. Like, it's basically being given a nice bed to sleep on when you've been sleeping on a couch for the last 2 weeks. You appreciate that bed a lot more. You appreciate the things that you have a lot more when it's taken away from you or you haven't had it for a while. So, you know what? I'm proud as a Mariner fan that I can finally buy my postseason tickets and I'm going to have an amazing time.
Yeah, I wish I could relate to you, by the way. I will say I did go to one singular playoff game last year. I watched my team get eliminated. It was painful. I 10 out of 10 do not recommend. I'm just saying right now that was a bottom five experience of my life.
Seattle had one playoff game in Seattle last year, and it was 18 innings
18
losing
innings.
1-0.
I get that.
So I can't say that. And to be fair, I was over at the Emerald Creek Casino watching that game, and I got there like 3 hours prior to make sure that I had a lounge chair to watch the entire thing. And I gotta tell you that when you just said bottom 10 moments of your life, for me, that was one of my top five decisions I've ever
I
made. Because
bet, yeah.
I had hundreds of people swarming around my chair trying to like steal my spot.
Yeah, that's a no. All right, my time. We'll get started in 3, 2, 1. So I'm actually going to a Mets game tomorrow. And I know you're
I
probably
pray for
thinking,
your
what
safety.
exactly? So you're probably wondering, what the heck are you doing going to a Mets game? when they are out of the race entirely. And I just want to put it out there again that, you know, everyone always says that they're like sick of their team. They're never going to watch baseball again. They're never going to watch sports again because their team plays poorly. But I just feel like going to live sporting events is way too fun for me to skip out on. Plus, one of the few good things about the Mets playing poorly is ticket prices are much cheaper all of a sudden. So I'm not paying much to sit field level tomorrow. It's hockey jersey night, which they scheduled a promotion on a Tuesday night in September. That's kind of weird to me. But, you know, I think, well, even if your team is out of the race, this goes for any sport. You know, when we get to NBA season or hockey season, or right now we're in football season, just, you know, enjoy it. You know, like I've said in the past, you're going to get to the end of the season and be like, man, I wish I had sports back. I wish I had baseball back. So take it all in. That's all I got. If your team is a non-contender like mine is currently, just appreciate that they're playing currently. So anyways, that will do it for our moment to ourselves. Thank you once again for tuning in. That will bring us to the end of our program. Thank you to Splash and Alex for coming on. Make sure to follow all of us on Twitter or X or whatever the heck it's called nowadays. I'm going to keep calling it Twitter. I'll just say that. Follow Splash at Mr. Splashman 19. Follow Alex at the Sports Guy 242. Follow myself at Matthias_A_K. Follow the Losses Above replacement Twitter account at LAR_baseball. You'll see all sorts of tweets from us. Maybe tell us what you think about our postseason predictions. Tell us where we're wrong. Something like that. Just don't try to fight us.
Please. Call me a homer, please.
Exactly. I beg call Alex a homer. I don't have any other words, really. Tell us, I don't know, our teams are terrible. Something like that. I don't know. Make it animated. Anyways, thank you all for listening. Stay safe, and hope to see you all real soon. Thank you.